Could you imagine any major event in your life without having had a time of preparation or planning? Think about a wedding. You need to have a rehearsal. You need to have planning. You need to have all your ducks in a row. How about the birth or adoption of a child? When that comes along, what do? You get a crib, you paint or wallpaper the room, and you make a place for that little addition to your life. I think you'll agree with me, it's a wise practice to prepare and save for retirement, if at all possible. And during the months of June to December, we here in the southeast portion of the United States, we know that we need to be ready for hurricanes with bottled water, canned goods, batteries, and candles, just in case, right? And up in the northern parts of our country, this brought me great pain to remember this. How many people do you know who have snow shovels or snow blowers? It was the first thing I sold when we knew we were moving back to the South. They might even own a generator, just in case. Those preparations are all well and good. But isn't it ironic that we can be so carefully prepared for those important events and not be ready or prepared for the most significant and life-impacting event of history? The promised return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. A wise man once said this: you need to dig the well before you get thirsty. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament, and the return of Jesus is mentioned in at least 318 times in those chapters. One verse in 25 mentions the return or the second coming of our Lord. And here are just a few of those to remind you. From James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. And the farmer doesn't only just wait for the autumn and spring rains, but sometimes he prays so that we'll get rain now. We're familiar with that. Someone was sharing with me just a few moments ago how he prayed on Sunday and the Lord gave us rain. He gave us rain on Monday as well. And we just keep praying because we need it. We're in the midst of a dry spell, to say the least. From Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. For those, the debt has already been paid. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The image of a master of a household, his servants, and the important pattern of being ready and watchful when he returns are strengthened by several brief parables by our Lord and some sayings that Jesus gives to us. Each of them supports the theme of being ready for his return and the coming judgment. For example, when the servants are waiting for their master to return from a party, they should stay formally dressed and ready to serve him. And they should keep the lamps lit so that the pathway into the house will be well lighted. In the first century, a wedding celebration usually could last several days, and you had to be prepared. Remember the wedding feast of Cana, when they ran out of wine, and Jesus' mother Mary came and asked him to do something about it. And so he transformed water into wine. Now, when the master in the first century, when the master at the house is away, the servants are supposed to keep everything in order, doing all of the things that needed to be done. But the temptation is always there to slack off, because it's human nature to think, oh, I've got time before he comes. Jesus says that we have to be faithful, like faithful servants who are always ready. They're up, they're dressed, watching and waiting, and their lamps are burning. Now, one of the things I'd like to share with you is we have images of certain things that we read from time to time in the Bible. Now, when we read about lamps, you might be thinking about candles. Well, they didn't have candles in those days. You might be thinking about like a Coleman lantern, a hurricane lantern. Well, let me show you what the lamp of the first century looked like. It was made of clay.
It was made of clay, and it was filled with oil. What kind of oil do you think they had? Anybody?
Olive oil.
Olive oil. Right. And this wick would go right in here, filled with oil, and then you light it. The wick would float on top of it, and it would give sufficient lighting. This is what it looked like. Now, they had some of them that were a little bit bigger, but for the most part, what you see is what you get. When it talks about a lampstand, you might be thinking of something like a menorah or something like that. But even the menorah wasn't candles. There were tubes filled with oil and a wick in it. This is what it looked like. I just think it's important
for us to become very well aware of what we're hearing about and what we're seeing when we read the scripture. So now, St. Andrew's Anglican Church, when you read in the scripture about a lamp, you have a better idea of what it was. There was no electricity, nothing but clay or pottery lamps. The prepared and ready servant will be there when the master knocks, so that he may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. There can't be a last-minute dash to get things ready. That's usually what we do here in the 21st century. They need to be prepared so that they can respond to his knock immediately. And Jesus' parable talks about the master being so impressed that he'll turn the tables on his servants and then become their servant for that short period of time and give them a celebration in their honor. Now, it's important also for us to understand that the Jewish night was divided into four watches. The first was from sunset or dark until 9 o'clock. The second, from 9 until midnight. The third, from midnight until 3 in the morning. And the fourth, from 3 until dawn. No man could watch around the clock. It's just impossible. But even if some fell asleep, the servant who was watching would have time to wake up the others so that they'd be ready to meet and greet their master. When the Lord switched the image to that of a thief coming in the night, he introduced a sense of danger. Since thieves normally don't make appointments ahead of time, the only way to be ready for a thief's entry is to always be ready. The point is that if you don't want to be surprised, you should be ready at all times for the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus himself reminds us of this in his words from the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come like a thief. thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and shamefully exposed. Now, I showed you the lamps, and our natural inclination is to connect this with the lamps with the parable that Jesus gave of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. This small piece of pottery, closely like a gravy boat, if you will, usually fit in the palm of the hand. We need to understand, if we will, that that parable about the 10 virgins, they didn't have an adequate supply, some of them. 5 of the 10 virgins who hoped to celebrate with the bridegroom when he came ran out of oil. They had to go get some, and they missed his arrival altogether. Their hopes of celebration turned to sorrow. So much for being ready. And Jesus put it this way in the Gospel of Mark. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone: watch. Jesus had a lot to say about being ready. And his intention is to reward any believers who faithfully await his return. And he wants to encourage those who already believe in him. Here he's talking to us. To tell us that all the promises that he's given will be fulfilled. Now, on the other hand, when Jesus returns, there will be judgment for those who have not prepared themselves by accepting him and being in relationship with him. Let's face it, and let me be very, very clear. If you do not know Jesus, there will be consequences. Jesus is crystal clear in Matthew 24, verses 42 to 51. When he says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now you might be saying, didn't you just read that, Father John? I read other words from Mark, but we need to be aware. We need to hear this over and over and over again. And Jesus said, who then is the faithful and wise servant who the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master's staying away a long time, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour that he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My friends, there's no denying there will be consequences. When Jesus Christ comes again, things will be very different. Then it will be the master who joyfully waits on his servants. God's own Son will be the servant of those who are expecting him, who are ready, and who know him. Now, being ready does not mean that we get to know when Jesus is coming. So what does it mean to be ready? In the verses immediately following today's Holy Gospel, and especially in verse 45, Jesus describes a servant who is not ready and says, "My master is taking a long time," and then he begins to beat men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. In other words, the unfaithful servant is living a life as if the master would not return. The very last thing on that person's mind is salvation. And the last thing on their mind is, who is Jesus Christ? And the last thing on that person's mind is also thinking that there are no consequences to sin, just as we see in our culture today. If it feels good, do it. That's basically the way many are living their life. He thinks that he can use and abuse his power as much as he wants, because no one will hold him accountable. And so Jesus continues, "The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he's not aware of." Jesus is so very clear. If you do not believe in him, if you do not trust in him, if you do not look to him for salvation as the way, the truth, and the life, for no one comes to the Father but through him. If you do not, then you're not ready. For those who are not ready, I'm afraid that Jesus' second coming will be quite an unpleasant surprise. The servant who is ready is already a member of the shepherd's little flock, and whose mind is not always on earthly things. As Jesus says, "God your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." We are to be in this world, but not of it. And as Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So if it's stuff you want, then stuff you'll get. If it's Jesus Christ and eternal life that you live for, then indeed that will be your reward. The servant who is ready is the one who always does what his master entrusted him to do. Jesus said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager who the master put in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." This faithful servant does not have to make any special preparations. He's always ready. He does not know the time of his master's arrival. He's ready anyway. And that's how Jesus encourages us to live our lives. I want to close with the very last recorded words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which can be found in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, Jesus says this, "Yes, I am coming soon." I think it's very clear that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ should be on all of our hearts and all of our minds, which faithfully leads us to work for and desire to be ready. Jesus asked this question in Luke chapter 18. "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know Jesus Christ, then you are ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.